With recent media buzz around massive financial gains in the Bitcoin market, the interest in cryptocurrencies is at an all-time high, with some high-profile purchases in the form of the Winklevoss twins, stated as being the first Bitcoin billionaires, many are tempted to join the Bitcoin bandwagon. Other cryptocurrencies have also popped up, with some labeling Bitcoin a con and a speculative bubble, while some companies like Microsoft have in the past refused to accept payment in Bitcoin. Recent research has empirically uncovered that Bitcoin is being predominantly used in illicit transactions within darknet marketplaces. I spoke with Talis Patnins, Professor of Finance at the University of Technology, Sydney.
Darknet market, you can think of it as something that's quite similar to eBay, but the differences would be that when you go into this website, your IP address and your identity is completely anonymous as a result of using a different communications protocol. Onion routing. So it's like an eBay where you are completely anonymous and therefore it's well suited to buying and selling goods that would otherwise you wouldn't want to be identified with. And so that's why these darknet marketplaces have emerged predominantly to buy and sell illegal goods and services such as drugs, weapons, forgeries, illegal pornography. You can even hire a murder of someone on the darknet. All of those types of things can be arranged there as a result of the anonymity that's in these communications protocols.
Asked about the recent research into Bitcoin activities, Professor Patnins explains anonymity is the key factor.
There's been a lot of anecdotal evidence about Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies being used quite extensively in the darknet. So while these kind of anonymous communications protocols have helped people retain anonymity when communicating with one another, what they needed, the next kind of piece to make this market operate, was a payment system that would also allow users a degree of anonymity. And that's where cryptocurrencies come into the picture. They are far less transparent than, say, making payments through PayPal or a credit card, and therefore it's the payment method of choice in the darknet. And so as a result, Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies have actually contributed to the growth of these online darknet marketplaces and the black market that exists in the darknet. And so while there's a lot of anecdotal evidence that that has been happening, no one up until this study has actually been able to quantify how much illegal activity is financed with cryptocurrencies, and Bitcoin being the largest of the cryptocurrencies and the most popular one in the darknet. One of the main findings being that a fairly large proportion of the activity in Bitcoin is associated with illegal goods and services being bought, facilitated with Bitcoin.
The novelty of the research required new empirical methods to be developed. One of them involved looking at a sample of illegal activity.
There have been a number of seizures of darknet marketplaces by law enforcement agencies, such as the US FBI, seized one of the first darknet marketplaces known as Silk Road. That happened in 2013. But subsequently, there have been a number of other seizures, including by Australian law enforcement agencies. What often happens is when a law enforcement agency seizes one of these darknet marketplaces, it confiscates all of the Bitcoin that is sitting in the payment accounts of the darknet marketplace, and then auctions that Bitcoin off to the public. And so those auctions of the Bitcoin, one can observe, one can see the Bitcoin being transferred from the law enforcement agencies to the hands of the public, and then we can exploit the fact that the Bitcoin blockchain gives us the complete record of all the transactions, so we can trace backwards from those auctions of Bitcoin to identify the actual Bitcoin users and the payment accounts of the darknet marketplaces.
One of the key risks facing Bitcoin buyers is that it is volatile, so it may be worth a lot one day and worthless the next, or rather, it is a speculative bubble.
So I can understand why there's a big debate about whether there's a bubble in Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies, and in part, it's because we don't really have a good valuation model for establishing what's the fundamental value or the intrinsic value of one of these cryptocurrencies, being a relatively new innovation. But one way to think about the fundamental value is for a very standard cryptocurrency like Bitcoin is to think about its primary purpose. One of its main purposes is to facilitate payments. So as a payment system, it has some sort of intrinsic value. If you want to make payments in Bitcoin, you're going to have to hold some Bitcoin. And given that it has a finite supply, the amount of people that are holding Bitcoin determines its value. So the wider its adoption as a payment system, The more people hold Bitcoin, the more demand there is. With the fixed supply, that implies a higher valuation for Bitcoin.
So what are governments going to do in light of the shift from anecdotal suppositions to research-based findings that Bitcoin is primarily being used for legal transactions?
So what we're already seeing is, including in Australia, is a regulatory shift towards greater identification requirements for people that want to transact in cryptocurrencies. In particular, at the point where someone wants to convert between a fiat currency like the Australian dollar and a cryptocurrency like Bitcoin. More generally speaking, the methods that we develop in this study have applications in surveillance of cryptocurrencies. So AUSTRAC, for example, one of the agencies in Australia that's responsible for this area, would find applications of the methods that we've developed to keep track of the illegal activity that's going on in cryptocurrency, but also to identify individuals that are involved in these illegal transactions.
That was Professor Talis Patnins from the University of Technology, Sydney, ending that report.